I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston. Jimmy Carter is in Haiti this week. The former U.S. President and former First Lady Rosalind Carter are volunteering with Habitat for Humanity. The Atlanta-based charity is building homes for Haitians displaced by last year's earthquake. Since that disaster, a large number of Americans have volunteered in Haiti, many of them medical professionals. But in a place where basic needs go unmet, volunteers can find that the skills they offer aren't enough. Reporter Jenny Asarno has a story of one American and the hard lessons she learned at a Haitian hospital.
Erin Curtis is in her apartment in Seattle.
This is a brand new blood pressure cup. And stethoscope. Yay!
She's sorting through donations she'll bring to Haiti.
Oh, little diapers. Have to take these.
Erin's a midwife. She's 34 years old, has sharp blue eyes, and a raunchy sense of humor. She lives with her two young sons and her girlfriend. She runs her own home birth business. Erin's getting ready to volunteer for an American nonprofit called Midwives for Haiti. She discovered it on Facebook.
And I said, yes, I'm being asked to help, and I can help, and so I will help. And it is just as simple as that.
Erin has always wanted to go on a trip like this to help where she's needed the most, and Haiti has a desperate need for midwives. Women in Haiti are 50 times more likely to die during childbirth than women in America. One big reason is there aren't enough medical professionals to deliver babies. Erin's going to Haiti for 1 week. Erin arrives in a little city called Ench in Haiti's Central Plateau. She's here to volunteer at the public hospital. Patients are crammed into long rooms with no electricity. The windows and doors are open to the air and the mosquitoes and flies and lizards that come through. Back home, Erin only deals with uncomplicated pregnancies. But here, women have extreme high blood pressure, anemia, even cholera. These are the sickest patients she's ever seen. And the hospital staff doesn't seem to have enough time for anyone. Erin examines a pregnant woman who says she's been in the hospital for 10 days with no diagnosis.
That's kind of surprising to me that women can just kind of camp out in the hospital here for a week or longer and say, no, nobody's done anything but take my blood pressure.
Erin came here mostly to train midwives, but now she sees how much needs to get done, she wants to do more. So she makes a generous offer. She'll work the night shift when there are fewer midwives on staff. She shows up at the hospital around 9.
There's really so much that doesn't get done here, so I think there's plenty to get done tonight.
The maternity ward is completely full. Families crowd the spaces between beds and listen to their radios. 33 women are about to give birth or just did, and there are only 2 nurse midwives on duty, Adeline and Denise. They're both graduates of Midwives for Haiti's training program. They both smile, but they look strained.
Pardon, Serge.
Adeline says this is their 7th night working. She hasn't slept in a week, and she is happy to see the Americans.
She's like, God sent you.
God sent you. Erin and the Haitian midwives deliver a baby. Then Erin checks on the sickest patients. It's midnight. The hospital is dark. A bunch of young men stand around in the courtyard. Erin gives medicine to a woman with dangerously high blood pressure, but it's not working, and she doesn't know what else to do.
So I'm almost to the end of the syringe full of meds, and then when it's done, then I'm going to go tell the midwife that it didn't work.
She turns to me.
Have you seen them around?
I have. The Haitian midwives, Denise and Adeline, are asleep in the labor and delivery room. They lay down sometime before midnight. Erin realizes she's on her own. A lizard runs up the wall. Dogs turn over trash cans in the central courtyard. Erin goes to check on her patient. In the dark, she turns on her headlamp. The light illuminates a bucket, a chamber pot, next to another woman's bed.
There's a lot of blood in that bucket.
The woman's bucket is half full of blood. The woman's voice is faint. She says she gave birth 6 hours ago, just before Erin arrived. She may have been bleeding that whole time.
Her uterus is full of blood and probably has clots in there. I'm going to need to get them out.
This woman is hemorrhaging. It's one of the reasons so many pregnant women here die. Erin tries to stop the bleeding, but she's worried. Later, she'll recall her frustration.
If the midwives on night shift need naps, okay. But you'd think that there would be some kind of protocol set up for every 2 hours somebody does a round. And as far as I could tell, that wasn't happening at all. Like, here are people who are trusting you to help them, and you've abandoned them.
It's not until after 4 a.m. that the Haitian midwives finally wake up. Erin gets the woman's bleeding under control, but when Erin leaves the hospital at 6, she's still on edge.
That was positively horrible. I mean, it could have been worse, right? Nobody died, so that's great. But that was very, very difficult.
Erin realizes that her Haitian colleagues are overworked, but she can't understand why Adeline and Denise didn't check on their patients, especially the woman who hemorrhaged.
I think it's easy to get all riled up and upset and judge their poor management of the situation or whatever, but I think just going back to the reality of what they're dealing with, I don't know.
Erin's at a loss. A few days later, after Erin has gone back to Seattle, I ask the Haitian midwives what happened. Denise says she's troubled by that night. She and Adeline say one of the reasons they slept is simple. They were exhausted. But there's another reason they don't check on the patients at night. Adeline says they're scared to go into the courtyard where the patients' rooms are.
We're women, so we can't go out of the labor and delivery room to check on the patients. Haiti is a dangerous country. We don't have light in the rooms. Even if we had a flashlight, we're two women. After midnight or 1 a.m., you can't check on the sick because of the lack of security.
They say not long ago, a girl was raped in the hospital at night. In a place where women desperately need midwives, these midwives can't do their job right because they don't feel safe. Later, back in Seattle, I told Erin what the midwives told me.
Wow. Yeah. I was too stupid to be scared. Yeah. That makes me sad to hear. I don't know what the solution is to that, though.
Erin knew there'd be a lot about Haiti she wouldn't understand, but things were even more complicated than she expected. She went to help fix a problem. Too many Haitian women die during childbirth. But she found that simply training more midwives isn't enough.
It doesn't matter what kind of protocols you have set up if you're afraid of being raped. I mean, that's huge. You know, where do you even begin? Where do you even begin?
Erin's back to delivering babies in Seattle, at comfortable homes where every candle is in place and the perfect music is on the stereo. She's grateful for how easy things are here, but she still thinks about the women she met in Haiti. She knows she doesn't have the answers to Haiti's problems, but she plans to go back and try again. For The World, I'm Jenny Asarno.
Jenny Asarno's travel was funded by the International Reporting Project. If you volunteered in Haiti, we'd like to know what lessons you learned. Share your thoughts and watch a slideshow from the hospital in Ash at theworld.org.